on.
Aman Krisis.
You're listening to Ithaca Now, WICB's weekly news program focused on stories in the Ithaca community. I'm your host, Inbai Nyanbarasan, and thanks for joining us. On tonight's show, we're going to hear from Sarah Payne, who had the opportunity to talk to Professor Pearl Ponce, who has recently been named director of the George W. Bush Presidential Library in Dallas, Texas. Then we will hear from Caroline Grass, who had the opportunity to look into the Reclaim Earth Day walk happening tomorrow on Earth Day. But first, here's Malcolm Alexander with your community beat and Sarah Payne with our campus update.
Two local Ithaca property owners have proposed developing an affordable senior living community in the Inlet Island neighborhood and are looking for support from the City of Ithaca in securing state economic development funds. The project, titled Ithaca Flatiron, calls for the demolition of a small building located at 900 to 912 West State Street to make way for a newly constructed senior living and commercial space. Developers Ishka Alpern and Franklin Milton are looking for city endorsement for the plan so that they can seek an over $1 million Restore New York grant from the state. The Ithaca Urban Renewal Agency has shown public support for the project, but has also raised concerns regarding the state funding, as Ithaca-based projects are often passed in favor of projects in areas the state deems to be in economic distress. On Wednesday morning, Ithaca City Court Judge Seth Peacock decided that all 24 of the Cornell students and staff members arrested at a sit-in protest last month will have their cases dismissed by the end of this month. The group was protesting Cornell's Board of Trustees meeting in March, demanding that the university divest collaborations and holdings with Israel-based connections. The Tompkins County District Attorney's Office offered all the defendants an adjournment on consideration of dismissal, also known as an ACD. The deal allows all of their cases to be dismissed as long as they are not arrested again before May 16th, and will clear the records of all defendants. However, separate disciplinary action by Cornell University still may be coming for the sit-in participants. Local services and organizations for individuals experiencing homelessness in Tompkins County are experiencing an influx of business as New York State's annual Code Blue period comes to an end. The Code Blue period ran from October to this past Monday, and orders that counties find housing for all unhoused individuals once temperatures drop below freezing. As of early April, over 150 people in Tompkins County were utilizing Code Blue protections to gain temporary housing. However, they are all back on the street now that Code Blue's yearly season is over. Members of the Ithaca Tenants Union, Nomas Lagrimas, and other advocacy groups greeted unhoused individuals along West State Street with helpful information and resources for living outside in the months to come. For Ithaca Now, I'm Malcolm Alexander.
On April 20th, people, a part of the Ithaca College Students for Palestine, protested at the Athletics and Events Center, Roy H. Park School of Communications, the School of Business, and the Campus Center on the final day of the open house. The method of protest included chanting and a die-in where the students laid down and pretended to be dead. This protest was in support of Palestine and also in part as a direct response to Ithaca College's President LaJuron Cornish rejection of previous demands made by the group. These demands included wanting the school to release an apology for not making a statement earlier, acknowledging the genocide of Palestinians, and a BDS audit. Eventually, the group, around 15 students, held signs. On April 24th through May 1st, the School of Music, Theater, and Dance is putting on the musical Year in Town, the final show of the season. The director of the show is Gavin Mayer, along with music direction by Jeff Theus, and also choreography by Amy Riles. Year in Town is about a world that is running low on water for the last two decades, an oppressive system that hinders the characters. The conversation post-show will be at the matinee performance on the 27th. Tickets are currently unavailable, but one can hop onto a wait list. Ithaca alum Nicholas Carl Moore will receive the Presidential Medal at the upcoming commencement ceremony on May 19th. He is being honored for his artistic and community contribution, where he made a mural in the ALS room in West Towers, a room used to help visitors. While a student, Moore worked to get his degree in sports management, where he eventually graduated in 1980. He also focuses a lot on community service through Mandate Ministries, which he founded in 2009 to help women who survived domestic violence and unhoused individuals. This is only some of his work. The ceremony will start at 10 a.m. at the Glazer Arena located at the A&E Center. For Ithaca Now, I'm Sarah Payne.
You're listening to Ithaca Now. I'm your host, Inbai Nyanbarasan. Professor of History Pearl Pons here at Ithaca College has been named director of the George W. Bush Presidential Library in Dallas, Texas. Correspondent Sarah Payne had the opportunity to learn more.
Presidential libraries are often time capsules of eras in the country. They show off what the president and their family were doing and what they faced during their time in the White House. In America, there are currently 15 presidential libraries, which according to the Official Archives website holds upward of 600 million pages of text, 20 million photographs, and 500 terabytes of electronic data, along with more items too. Older presidents aren't alive to have a library or have enough documents to make one, but presidents from Herbert Hoover up until Donald Trump have one dedicated to them, though. One of the famous museums with its arsenal of knowledge is the George W. Bush Library in Dallas, Texas. One of Ithaca College's own, history professor Pearl Ponce, who served as the chair of the department, will be making the shift to work at the library, as she's been offered the role of director at the library after a long application process.
I think the biggest change for me is that it was a very different process from applying to academic jobs. So I needed a very different resume. So for professors, we have something that's called a curriculum vitae. So what we call CVs, and it just, everything is really structured differently. So I did have to work, conceive of my skill set differently for the resume. So kind of translate, for instance, what I do as chair into something that's much more tangible. So in a lot of ways, that was almost the hardest thing. And then, so once the application was in, I heard in January that I'd be interviewed. And so I had an interview with the director of the presidential libraries and two other of the directors of presidential libraries. And once I got past that, I had another interview again with the director of presidential libraries and another woman who was senior to her. And then I was called to DC to meet with the archivist of the United States. And her assistant. And then finally, I went out to Dallas to meet with the Bush Foundation, who has a vested interest, of course, in the legacy of George W. Bush.
Ponce officially starts June 2nd and credits her intellectual interest for attracting her to the role.
So my specialty is the 19th century, and of course, there aren't any presidential libraries for those presidents. But when I had been a graduate student, I, for instance, had written a master's on Lyndon Johnson's Soviet policy. And I had actually done research at the Lyndon Johnson Presidential Library in Austin. So I'd actually worked at one before. And it was kind of in the back of my mind when I was your age, when I was doing my undergraduate thesis, which was on Nixon and Watergate and detente. I remember so clearly actually being in, I went to Pomona College, but being in my library and looking through the Congressional Globe, and there was like a listing, I think it was like for the like historian of Congress or something like that. And I remember thinking, I couldn't believe that was an actual job, that there was like a historian of the Senate, and there are all these kinds of different positions. So it was kind of like way, way back in my mind, but I ended up going to grad school. And then after grad school, I just became a professor, and it was just kind of percolating kind of in the back. And so when I was thinking about next phases of my own career, once I was promoted to full professor, it's something that came up.
Ponce's roles will include hosting and coming up with event ideas for the library, for which she has a few. Some of which include collaborative efforts with the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library and the LBJ Presidential Library, as she thinks it benefit the community to utilize Texas's unique position of having three of these libraries in the state. Ponce also wants to be able to create activities that help make young kids interested in American history.
The Bush Library already has a strong kind of educational program. I don't know how deeply you went into the website, but there's really great little programs that they already have. Like they have like... And again, these are geared towards children, but they have one that's called like presidential hats that talks about all the different hats that the president makes and to kind of make it more concrete for younger audiences. For instance, like, you know, the president as commander in chief, the president as the chief executive. I thought that was really nice. And then the other one that I really like, they have this traveling trunk program. And the one that I noticed was there was one that's called Nana's Trunk. And so they're literally trunks that have different kind of artifacts. And so this one is based on one of the Bush grandmothers and when she was an immigrant and coming to the country. And I just thought those were actually really great ideas. I'm not quite sure who thought of them, but I think they're a really great way to make history seem really alive for different kinds of age groups. So I can imagine doing something similar, thinking about that.
Ponce values bridging connection with the community above all else. I saw like on the Ithaca when they were talking to you about your announcement, you mentioned being excited to use this role to connect more people to their history as Americans. So like, is there anyone in particular you want to help connect to American history? And if so, why?
Well, I would think that people, for instance, who don't feel connected to their government or who maybe feel alienated, it's possible, you know, that maybe some people, for instance, don't even know that there's a presidential library in their communities. So one of the things that I would want to do is to make connections with a wide swath of Dallas society. I'd probably like to go to a lot of different schools in different kinds of communities. Thankfully, I actually do speak Spanish, so it's possible, for instance, that I can connect with people that for whom English is not their first language, to help them again understand that this too is their history.
As for analytical projects, as she'd also be in charge of making sure that artifacts and documents are accessible, Ponce says the library is currently working on digitalizing many of the bits of information the library has to work with. She says that accessibility is a primary goal at the George W. Bush Presidential Library.
So one of the biggest responsibilities of a director of a presidential library is to ensure access. Essentially, if you think about presidential records as belonging to the American people, this is our history, and we need to have access to it. And so part of my primary responsibilities is to ensuring, I think, the smooth access of records to people. And so there's some complications, of course. Some materials are still classified. So a lot of what the library does with the more recent presidents is they have to deal with freedom of information requests. One of the other things that will probably be one of my main charges is probably to look into digitization. If we've learned anything from the pandemic, is about different kind of access. So traditionally, when you study at a presidential library, you literally have to actually go there. But one of the things that the National Archives and Record Administration, which is the agency that the libraries fall under, is concerned about, is about diversifying access. So for instance, let's say you're poor, and you are interested in George Bush, but you can't actually get to Dallas to do research. We would want to ensure that people have an equal opportunity to access those records. So there's going to be, I think, an increasing turn towards digitization. Mm-hmm. But one of the problems with digitization is just there's literally millions and millions of records. The Bush administration was one of the first to switch to digital photography. So there is just millions and millions and millions of records that actually need to be processed. So there'll have to be some attention being paid to, like, okay, so we're going to digitize, but what do we prioritize? And so I'll be handling all those sorts of questions.
She also thinks that Americans being aware of the federal government's history is important in supporting our country's future.
So if you think about democracies as they're living organisms, and just like anything else, they need time and they need attention. And we have a tendency to think that they're always going to be okay. But the truth is, if recent history has shown us anything, is that that's not true. And there's a great quote, I think it was Justice Day O'Connor, who talked about, like, we have this tendency to think about democracy just simply being embedded into our DNA, but that it actually needs to be nurtured, and that each successive generation actually has to be reminded about their government. You know, and I always think about that great Lincoln quote about government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And it's the only way that our government does, in fact, function. But we need people to essentially tend to it, to care about it, to vote, and all those sorts of things. So I think my job as the director of the library is to essentially, in some ways, think about it as an extension of civic education.
Ponce is both excited and nervous for her new role, saying that she always likes a
challenges in front of me. So it's going to be really exciting.
And are you nervous about anything, or are you just going full steam ahead?
Well, I'm definitely going full steam ahead. I think anybody would be nervous about a new role. It's an exciting role. It's one that I'm somewhat shy, though no one ever believes me. So it's going to be much more public facing. So I'm a little nervous about that, like, for instance, this interview. But as I said, I think it's good to have things that we're perhaps nervous about. It helps focus us. But I am from the Southwest myself, so I'm actually looking forward to being in some sunshine. I'm always cold in Ithaca. Everyone's always teasing me. I'm usually warm one day of the year. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be great.
Ponce will leave the college officially at the end of the academic year and express how she'll miss her students. For Ithaca Now, I'm Sarah Payne.
You're listening to Ithaca Now. Every year, April 22nd is celebrated as Earth Day around the world, and here in Ithaca, a Reclaim Earth Day walk has been organized to commemorate the holiday. Caroline Grass has more.
Divest from fossil fuels and invest in environmental justice initiatives. disassociate from the fossil fuel industry, and build relationships with frontline communities. Decarbonize our campuses and lead on transformative climate solutions. Our demands demonstrate the beginnings of the world we must build, from the halls of our universities to the halls of our Congress. A coalition of students across the country are making these three demands as they reclaim Earth Day tomorrow, April 22nd. In Tompkins County, 8 campus-specific actions will be led that will culminate in a march to the Ithaca Commons for a call to action at Bernie May's Pavilion at 4 p.m., with speakers to include New York State Representative Anna Kellis, New York State Senator Leah Webb, and Professor of Ecology and Environmental Biology at Cornell University Robert Howarth, among others. Actions will be held at Cornell University, Ithaca College, Tompkins Cortland Community College, New Roots Charter School, the Layman Alternative Community School, the Eco Village in Ithaca, in addition to a downtown action.
The national organizers very succinctly say that Reclaim Earth Day is a reclamation because let's finally use Earth Day for action. And the very first Earth Day arose out of a very active time. There was a lot of protest, quite disruptive protest. And it sparked a movement that did result in some of the legislation that we now have come to consider normal, protecting clean air and clean water. But it definitely didn't spark the movement we need to transform the system. And the capitalist system has continued and brought us to the point we are now, which is why youth across the nation are calling on all levels of government to declare a climate emergency and take action on the scale needed and on the timeline needed.
That was...
My name is Bethany Oyelotomaze, and I am an activist working with Cornell on Fire and Mothers Out Front and Extinction Rebellion.
Other groups leading the organizing effort are the Native American and Indigenous students at Cornell and Climate Justice Cornell, among others. The National Reclaim Earth Day Student Coalition asserts that Earth Day has been co-opted by fossil fuel interest and billionaires who use the day for greenwashing. According to the United Nations, greenwashing misleads the public to believe that a company or other entity is doing more to protect the environment than it is, which promotes false solutions to the climate crisis. The Tompkins County local goal for the day is to unite diverse campus and community groups across the county to reclaim Earth Day from a, quote, historically narrow sustainability event to a powerful collective action that calls on leaders to dismantle the climate crisis's oppressive roots.
We're really feeling a sense of urgency, and Earth Day as an entity has been going on for over 50 years, and I think there's been a lot of progress and gains made out of that, but there's really been this sort of more of a focus on like kind of community building and, you know, celebrating successes of things that have been going well in our work towards sort of mitigating climate change and sort of trying to get this situation addressed with the environment. And I think that the underlying feeling is that that's not enough, and we need to also be taking action politically, you know, not just looking at our own carbon footprints and how we're making decisions, but really like what decisions our leaders are making in our institutions.
That was Claire Nickel, who is a part of Extinction Rebellion Ithaca and is a co-organizer in the coalition of groups working together for Reclaim Earth Day Tompkins County. In addition to the three national demands of divest, decarbonize, and disassociate, Nickel talked about how locally decolonize was added as a focus.
Main organizers have emphasized three demands, and then we also have taken upon ourselves to add a concept of decolonizing the ways that we do these things, so that we're making sure that typically marginalized communities, Black, Indigenous, people of color, who are typically more impacted by decisions made around where to put, for example, dump or something like that, the decisions are made with their best interest sort of forefront.
Here's Oyelotomaze explaining the Cornell action that will focus on decolonization as well. The Cornell Action will start at 2 p.m. at Ho Plaza.
So the Cornell-specific action is focused on the theme of decolonization, and we will be uplifting a call for land back from Indigenous communities in what is now known as Wisconsin. So they are calling for 1 acre back from land that is jointly owned by Cornell and a mining corporation. Cornell dispossessed over many, many thousands of acres of land through their land grab or land grant hundreds of years ago. And they still own that land and retain mineral rights and profit from those mineral rights currently. So this community is asking for 1 acre back.
Oyelata Mays also talked about climate justice and the importance of listening to and uplifting a diverse set of voices in the environmental movement.
So the idea behind Reclaiming Earth Day is not only to bring the people out in force to demand the change that we need, but also to shift the groundwork for the environmental movement, which some argue, I think justifiably, that the environmental movement in the United States has been primarily white and dominated by sort of mainstream, ultimately Western discourse of how we relate to the environment and how we solve the problem and how we engage technology. And it leaves a lot to be desired. And that is where climate justice communities come in with powerful insights that we absolutely need. And so Reclaiming Earth Day also involves bringing those voices and those communities into the foreground as we consider how we can pivot to meet the climate emergency now.
Shimon Edelman is a professor of psychology at Cornell University and member of the collective Cornell on Fire, which is a group of students, faculty, alumni, and community members that are working to, quote, build a large-scale movement that leverages truth-telling, resilient community building, and nonviolent direct action for Cornell climate accountability. Edelman talked about how learning from Indigenous individuals and groups who've been able to live and preserve the environment for generations is a way to work to stop the climate crisis.
The traditional ways of living with the earth, as opposed to using the earth as an extractive resource, have survived until the onslaught the last couple of hundred years of full-blown capitalism for millennia. And people have been happy living on this earth, and it worked, which means that just from purely pragmatic standpoint, learning from people who managed their lives in such a way as to preserve the environment for future generations, learning from those people might just be the way, the best way to go about it, to mitigate climate change, to reverse the process.
Zoe Wang is an 8th grade student at the Lehman Alternative Community School, or LACS, in Ithaca. She is a student leader for the LACS chapter of the Sunrise Movement, which aims to stop the climate crisis and win a Green New Deal.
People are more aware of it now as it's an emergency. And I think young people really need to understand that it's not, you know, before people are like, oh, well, it's the generations above, like it's their problem. But now are kind of realizing that, like, this is happening. We're kind of seeing the effects of it already, but it's going to become a really big reality for our generation. And I think having more access to information about this and like having movements accessible to young people is kind of happening more now. And I think we just need to take advantage of the opportunities that we're given and all the access that we have, because a lot of people don't have access to, you know, groups that they can join at their schools or information. So we just need to take advantage of it and take advantage of the time that we have.
While Reclaim Earth Day has a specific focus on college institutions, Nickel emphasized that the same demands like decarbonization are important for surrounding localities in and around Tompkins County. Nickel also said that she feels that community actions like Reclaim Earth Day that have many voices will have more impact than what people can do just by themselves.
For me, I think it comes down to that. You know, looking at my own personal carbon footprint, I can only do so much. There's only a really limited number of decisions that I have available to me. And so I think that when voices come together, we are louder and can have more impact. I know a lot of elected politicians will look at how many people are reaching out to them around an issue to gauge whether or not it's something that they want to champion. But besides that, I think it's important for us to remember that we are in this together, and we may have different sort of takes on how to resolve these issues, but I think that we're stronger when we're together, and when we bring community together, you have more diversity of ideas and opinions about how to do it, and that's where our strengths really lie.
More information about the actions being held tomorrow for Reclaim Earth Day in Tompkins County can be found on cornellonfire.org. For WICB News, I'm Caroline Grass.
That's all for tonight's edition of Ithaca Now. You can listen to all of our stories on WICB.org, and if you'd like to listen to past shows, follow WICB on SoundCloud and subscribe to Ithaca Now to hear the show anywhere, anytime. Just search WICB News Presents on your favorite podcast app. For more updates throughout the week, follow WICB News on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The show wouldn't happen without the support and assistance from Manager of Television and Radio Operations, Jeremy Menard, WICB Station Manager Beck Legato, and Programming Director Nicole Allen. Thank you. All of the stories from our show's intro and outro comes from Dr. Dundiff of Louisville, Kentucky. Have any feedback, story ideas, just want to say hi? Feel free to reach out by emailing news@wicb.org. We will be back with a full episode of Ithaca Now at 7 p.m. next Sunday.